grateful for all of you who have been here this morning, or are here this morning, and also the ones that are with us on Zoom. Can everybody hear me all right? Okay, good. But it is always an honor to stand before you and share with you another portion of God's Word. Open your Bibles, if you will, and turn to John, the sixth chapter. John, the sixth chapter is where we're going to be mostly. And while you're doing that, I want to begin by, you know, back somewhere in the 1970s, there was two people by the name of Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr., who once sang with the group of the Fifth Dimension. And they sang and recorded a hit song back then, "You Don't Have to Be a Star Baby to Be in My Show." Now, some of you might remember that song, but maybe some of you might be listening to something else back in the day. But today, the subject that I want to share with you is, you don't have to be a star to be in God's show. And I want to share with you some famous names that we recognize as stars, household names, if you will, that were either raised in the Lord's church or were members of the Lord's church, and some of them had fallen away. As we know, Max Lucado, former Church of Christ minister, Glenn Campbell, Roy Orbison, Pat Boone, Janis Joplin, I find that one kind of interesting, Loretta Lynn, Sonny James, Amy Grant, Ray Walker, and the Jordanaires. And by the way, you may recall that back in Elvis's early days, the Jordanaires were backup singers for Elvis. Bill Elliott, NASCAR driver. Scott Hamilton, Olympic gold medalist. And when I read of these names and how some of these people have been in the Lord's church and have fallen away, I know some of them, it reminds me of Matthew 13:22, where Jesus speaking, he was saying, where some received the word or the seed and it fell among the thorns and the cares and the worries and the fame choked the word. But I mentioned, you know, Pat Boone, who became a 50s rock and roll star with hits like April Love, Love Letters in the Sand, Don't Forbid Me, and others. But back in the 1990s, maybe early 2000s, I remember a group of us here in Dowagiac, we used to get into that van and load up the church van, and we go to Nashville, Tennessee for 4 days. And we go down there, I think on a Saturday we'd check in and we'd be there through Wednesday night. And we'd be down there for what they called the Lipscomb Lectures, back before they became so liberal. And we would, a bunch of us would get up Sunday morning, and sometimes we would visit the Madison Church of Christ. And while we were there, we would visit Southern Plantations, Music Row, Opryland Hotel, old parts of Nashville. But this congregation, the Madison Church of Christ, they gave our small group, they welcomed us there, you know, and they greeted us, and it was pretty friendly for a huge congregation. And one year they gave us a tour of their facility, and it was very impressive. And I remember that many people that we met there talked about, and they'd mentioned that Pat Boone used to worship there before he had fallen away. And we as people, we tend to be impressed by big names, don't we? Stars. Wow, like, you know, Pat Boone used to worship here at Madison Church of Christ. This congregation at one time, at least, I don't know about now, but it was the largest Church of Christ in the United States in attendance. And at the time we were there, they were getting 400 to 500 people in attendance, and they'd have two services on Sunday morning. But you don't have to be a star to be in God's show. Remember that. And with that, let's go to John, the 6th chapter. I'm going to begin in verse 1. And I want to read through 7. It said, after these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs which he had performed on those who were sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. And now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. Therefore Jesus, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip, where are we to buy bread so that these may eat? And this he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. And Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little. Okay, let's look at verse 8. Are you with me? Verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these for so many people? And Jesus says, have the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in a number about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the leftovers, the fragments, so nothing will be lost. Now let's go back to verse 8. It reads again, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Let's just stop here a moment. Andrew, we don't have one book written by Andrew, do we? We don't read of one lesson that Andrew preached. We don't know even if he was a preacher. Look again at verse 8. Andrew, comma, Simon Peter's brother. It's like Andrew kind of didn't have his own identity, didn't it? And let me share you a personal childhood analogy here, okay? Let's hold this thought where we're at. When I was a young boy, I had 2 sisters. But when I was young, I was very bashful. I was timid. I was not outgoing at all. And my 2 sisters, one was named Joanne and the other one Betty. And one was blonde and the other one was brunette. And my sisters were good looking. And all the boys knew it because that's how us guys are, right? We notice that. And I was a nobody. And I'm still a nobody, but that's okay. And people would say, that's Jimmy Joe, Joanne and Betty Harrisovich's brother. That was my identity growing up. And maybe some of you had a popular sibling that you were like not so popular stepchild. I don't know. But I was. But we had a drugstore next to our house. And I'd walk over to that drugstore very often. And I'd look at all the toys and stuff over there like kids do. But they had a soda fountain. You know how soda fountains used to be so popular back in the 50s, early 60s. And there was a young teenage guy that worked behind the soda fountain that really had a crush on my sister, Joanne. And so he said, if you'd give a message to your sister to come over here and talk with me, I'll give you a free ice cream soda. You know. And every time I'd go in there, he'd try again, you know, and he never had much luck. And I really go to bat for this guy because I thought he was a nice guy. And besides, you know, I like the ice cream sodas to keep coming, you know. And so what's my point? My point is, in my childhood, my sisters were a star and I was a nobody. And I'm still not a star, but that's okay. So anyway, so Andrew here was not the star, was he? And pretty much when they mentioned his name, it was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Look at John, the first chapter, if you would. John 1 and 40. And it reads, one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. See, there it is again. Peter's the star. Now, if you don't think Simon Peter was a star, remember, it was Simon Peter, when he saw Jesus, he got out of the boat to walk on water. And when he took his eyes off of Jesus, he started to sink. You see, even stars go down sometimes. So again, my point is, you don't have to be a star to be in God's show. Andrew was not a star, but he knew there was something that he could do. Andrew was never talked about like Moses or Abraham or Paul or even a preacher, let alone a great preacher. Only Simon Peter's brother. Now again, let's read John 1 and verse 40 and also 41. John 1, 40 and 41. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother, Simon. Now let's stop right here. Are you with me? What did this nobody, little, insignificant Andrew do? Simon was brought to Christ by Andrew. Is that all right? Simon was brought to Christ by Andrew. Listen, we may never have had that famous sermon by Peter on the day of Pentecost if it wasn't for Andrew. We may never have had that all that great things that Peter had done if it was not for Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Many women have converted their husbands to the church, and we've heard examples of that. But we see stars are recognized. And the nobodies, not so much. One time, me and Ben Nimothy was a young man at the time. And we went to South Bend Airport to pick up a brother from Roanoke, Texas. Some of you remember him. His name was John Dunnigan. John came one fall, years before that, and he stayed into the winter. He stayed with the Nimothys, and then he stayed with me. And sometimes when I'd go to work and I'd come home, John would be there, and he'd blow out the driveway. It was an experience for him. I don't know how he did it, but he blew out the driveway with the choke on the snowblower. He said, I don't know what's the matter with this thing. It's kind of bogged down, you know. And I showed him, oh, okay. He didn't ever take the choke off. But he got the job done. But the winters got so cold for John, being from Texas, he decided he's going back to Texas. So years later, here he comes. And he's flying into South Bend Airport. Everybody loved John. He had a voice that could really sing. To me, he had a voice that could make me cry. He was a great song leader. He was a great man. Talked to him not too long ago. So Ben and I will go to this airport, and Ben's got his VHS camcorder. And we're going to go down to the terminal, and Ben's going to film John coming off that plane into the terminal. And so, you know, this was back when you could do that. You know, you could get down in there. But at the time, it was under construction. You weren't supposed to be back there, but Ben's like, I'm going anyway. And so I kind of followed him behind, and I stayed back. And there's Ben, and he's filming as people are coming off the plane. All kinds of people were coming off that plane. And pretty soon, Muhammad Ali comes off that plane. And he's looking right at us, see? Like, are we news people or what? I mean, he didn't expect it. We had no idea Muhammad Ali was, you know. But Muhammad Ali's a star. Everybody knew him when they saw him. He's probably the greatest heavyweight boxer in the history. But especially if you're at a big time airport and you watch everybody come off those planes, you'll see movie stars, you'll see athletes. Stars are noticed. So Andrew was not such a big deal as many were in the Bible. But he had the ability to convert his brother. So think, if you could convert one of your family members, who knows what good it might do? Now, many of us, I know, we have some real devils in our family. Some of us do. And maybe we're scared to try to convert some of them people. Look, all of us have in-laws. And some of them might be outlaws, you know. But if you can convert one, you're really doing something. Think about it, how Paul was after he became Saul, or how Paul was when he was still known as Saul. But you have to live a life of a Christian if you're going to convert someone. You can't be part-time. And you know it's difficult to convert family members sometimes. And you know why? Because they know who we are. They know us on our good days. They know us on our bad days. They know us when we slip of the tongue. So if you live as a hypocrite, you'll never convert anybody. So let's go back to John 6:2. And it says, and a great multitude was following Jesus because they were seeing miracles that he was performing on those who were sick. Now, if somebody is performing miracles on the sick, he's going to draw a crowd. And that's what's going on here, amen? He's going to draw a crowd. People are going to notice. And if somebody would walk into the hospital in Dowagiac and start raising them people out of the beds, he's going to draw a crowd. And Jesus didn't have a crowd necessarily following him because he could quote all kinds of scriptures, or that he was a great preacher, or that he knew all things, but because he was helping people. He was helping people. And it's said that people really don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And Jesus was a man on the move. And you don't read about Jesus going on vacation or taking a break or doing nothing. He's on the move. Now, in verse 5, Jesus looked up and sees a great crowd coming. He said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread that these may eat?" You see, Jesus cared about the welfare of the people. You see it here again. And in verse 7, Peter says, "We don't have enough money to buy that they can all have just a little. It's not going to go around just a little." Then in verse 8, Andrew said, "There is a lad here who has 5 loaves and 2 fish, but what's that for so many?" And we see Jesus says, "Have them sit down." And the number was about 5,000. Jesus could have said, "Send them home. We can't feed this many." So 5 loaves and 2 fish won't go very far. This lad had little. Now think about it. Most lads, they don't have much of anything anyway, do they? They don't have much sense. Not much experience, not much money. Here he didn't have much food. But lads don't have much of anything anyway. So let's give Andrew a little more credit here. Andrew was able to talk that boy out of probably what was his lunch. Okay? When I was a young kid in grade school, my mom divorced my dad. We had hard times. We were on welfare. We were on ADC, which they called back then. I had holes in my pants on my knees to go to school in. And I remember some of the subsidies that we would get was cheese, which was pretty good, peanut butter from the government, rice, pinto beans, butter. But I'll never forget that powdered milk. It was nasty. You couldn't swallow that stuff. And when we were lucky enough to scrape up 47 cents for a half a gallon, we'd kind of mix it half and half so it wouldn't taste so bad, kind of stretch it out. And I remember Brenda's brother, John Saylor, was married to my oldest sister. And he loved my mom's sugar cookies. And he had a mouthful of sugar cookies, and he took a drink of what he didn't know was that powdered milk, and boy, it was like, he couldn't help. I found some use for it because I used to take it and sprinkle it and make foul lines on the baseball field like you would chalk, you know. Found out it was good fertilizer for the grass because the grass would turn real green there. Anyway, I didn't have much of a lunch to take to school. And I sat right across from this little guy named Keith Wetter, who was from a well-to-do family. And Keith, he was a skinny mini. He's skinny as I am right now. You know, he puny guy. He didn't eat much, but he had a lunch that was much to me. And I remember Keith, he'd have a banana, and he'd have a cherry Hostess pie turnover. And he'd eat his sandwich and maybe a few Doritos, and he'd put that Twinkie and that cherry pie and that banana back in his lunch and put it away. And I'm like, "Man, you're not going to eat that?" I said, "You're not going to eat that. I'll take it off your hands. What I wouldn't have given to have just that banana." And every time he would say, no, I don't know why. He was stingy. I never got nothing out of it. What's my point? It's not easy to talk a boy out of his lunch. But Andrew here, he did that. And so, in verse 8, Andrew said, there's a lad who has 5 loaves and 2 fish, but what is that? But here Andrew had the ability to do this, didn't he? You don't have to be a star, because there's something that you can always do. So Jesus took the loaves, he gave thanks, and he distributed to all who were sitting as much as they wanted. That was a great miracle. And not only that, but in verse 13, we see where they gathered up the leftovers. You know, doggy bags and boxes weren't anything new. They're not anything new, are they? Kind of like what we do sometimes after our church potlucks. And as I close this lesson, Andrew recognized that he was not a star, but he realized he was not a leader, but he decided to be a helper. And church, we need helpers, don't we? Some folks won't do things because someone else is doing it. Or they won't do it because someone else wasn't doing it. Some won't do it because they got some poor attitude. Or they won't do it because they didn't like who was doing it. Not everybody will possess leadership ability. Some only have helper ability, and that's all right, because that is needed. It's important. And remember, not everybody can be an elder or a preacher or a song leader or a teacher. But there's so many important things, places where you can help in so many ways you can do. Recognize your talents and use them. And like Jesus, be a church on the move. And that's what I like about the WAJAC. Because you have outreach, you have programs. It's a shame during this pandemic season that we couldn't have done some of those things. But you're trying to reach the public and make contact and show them that you care. And we still got the food bank thing going on. I think we got the big one coming up this month.
Thursday.
The biggie, yeah.
This Thursday.
Jesus performed a miracle by feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And when Jesus did a miracle, he went all the way, didn't he? And if you're a child of God, you got to go all the way. We can't just be part-timers. So if you're subject to the invitation, come as we sing the invitational song. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim, for the lesson. Jim says his sister was the star, and he was a nothing. Well, I don't think he caught on to what his part was. Every star's got to have an agent. He was the agent. Andrew was the agent. So all these stars got agents. We're all agents of Jesus Christ. That's what we are. He's the star. We're the agents. So Jim, thank you for that lesson and bringing those thoughts to our mind. We appreciate it.